Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, we're been talking about faith, the ABCs of faith. And this is part four. And I want to talk tonight about framing your world. Now, did you catch what I just said? Framing your world. Amen. I can't do it. God can't do it. And I can help you. Other people can help you frame, help you in your faith walk. But it all comes down to you.
That's right.
Amen. You're going to have to say, hey, I want to get this thing together. Because God has already provided everything we'll ever need. He's given us seed for every problem you'll ever run across. He's given us seed to sow. It's more than enough to put us over.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I've heard this. I heard this phrase. Well, you never know. You know, I'm just waiting to see what God brings. Well, faith doesn't talk like that. Because God's already brought it. It's at the table. He's waiting for us to come to the table and receive what He's already accomplished in Christ Jesus. So yes, we can frame. Now, I'll be honest with you. I came across something, what was it, last week or something. And this guy, a preacher of the gospel, and usually I keep in our camp, the faith camp, because I usually don't hear negative stuff. But this guy was getting all over Kenneth E. Hagin. I couldn't believe it. He said that, I think Pastor Mark and I mentioned this. This guy did not believe in the authority of the believer. I'm thinking, man, are you even saved? What book are you reading? You can't get this wrong. It's in the book. So either you need to be saved or you need to go drive a truck or something, because as believers in Christ, we have authority to speak His word. So yes, we can frame our world. If things don't line up, listen, we got the word, and when we speak the word, things line up. Now, I'm not saying things line up overnight. I'm not saying just because you speak something, it's going to come into manifestation. But once you start speaking, once you start releasing faith, things go in motion. You're actually setting things in motion in your speaking. Things are happening in the spirit realm you can't see. So that's the reason why you have to hold fast to your confession of hope without wavering. Because He who promised is faithful. In other words, it will work. He's promised it. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 is our text. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, here it is. You can't, faith, see, this is where a lot of people get tripped up. Faith is something you can't see it, but yet it's a substance, but you can't see it, and it's the evidence. You can't see it with the natural eye. The five senses cannot grab a hold of it. It is a spiritual force. It is the parent. Faith is the parent force. In other words, the original words that God spoke that brought everything to existence is the force of faith. It is the parent force of all things. In other words, everything that I see in the natural is subject to change. So yes, here again, you can frame your world because everything is subject to the Word of God. Even though you can't see it, you can't feel it. See, this is where the fight's at. are a big part of it. Because your body will want to tell you you're not healed. Your senses will try to tell you you don't have anything. Look at you. Look at nothing's changed. See, there's a constant fight because the enemy will use your senses against you. And he'll remind you, you don't have anything yet. Look around you. Well, see, that's the problem. You don't look around you. You just look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You keep your eyes on him. The word will work. Your senses are exactly what they are. They're just senses. They don't mean nothing. Now, I'm not saying we deny it, right? But we don't give it first place. It is this. We give this first place in our life. And everything we do and everything we say is lined up with this. It will come to pass. You got to keep the switch faith on, just like Kenneth Hagin always used to say. Well, see, here's the thing. You know, I can say, you know, right now there's TV singles or TV waves coming through here, radio singles coming through. You can't see them, right? But I guarantee you, all of you, everyone in here believe it. You believe that they exist because you use it all the time on your cell phone, on your TV. But just like in the natural, in order to tune in on that wavelength, you have to adjust your frequency on the radio, on your TV. You got to adjust it to the right station to lock in on that frequency. Well, in faith, it's all there. You just got to tune in. You got to use your faith, my faith, is the tuner, is our receiver. Amen. You just got to tune in. It's all there. But you got to use your faith. Amen. It goes on to say, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And verse 3 is what I want to try to get to. By faith. He kicks it off. Now you read through, we call this the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame. You read through this chapter, it's all about by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Enoch, and so on down to Moses. But the first one is the key. You got to get this first one right. He's Father. Father to your spirit man. He is the first example. And it says, by faith, God. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Let's back it back down. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed. Underline that word framed. It's telling us that God framed the worlds, the universe, and this earth. That word frame, you look this up in the Hebrew, it means to set in order. Another, it also says to mold with the fingers, but we're going to go with to set in order. Is there anything in your life that is out of order? Think about this now. Is there anything in your life that is out of order? In other words, it doesn't line up with the word. You can. Have you ever gone to a Coke machine? This is back in the 70s. They weren't that high tech. You put your money in it, you know, 50 cents, whatever. Then you push the button. Then it tells you it's out of order. And a lot of the times, not only is it out of order, which is bad enough, especially trying to get a Mountain Dew, then you try to, you hit the, whatever they call it, the change thing, and it don't want to give you back your change. Yeah, it's out of order. It's taking my money. I don't have my drink. So usually back then, my response to that was a good kick, a shake. Then I'd do that ching, that lever, try and get that money out. That usually did not work. Then I was not sanctified back then with my words. I would speak over it. Now, I never was into cursing and using God's name in vain, but I would speak not good words. That was my response. Because it's frustrating. When things are not in order in your life, it's frustrating. I got good news for you. You can put it in order. See, now we're getting into the authority of the believer. Because God did this. He started all this. Now turn, that since we're talking about God and how He framed the universe, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginnings. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to check this out once again. Of course, we've gone through this before, but I'll tell you what, just me studying this again, I just enjoy studying faith. I enjoy studying how God did it, how Jesus did it, how the apostles did it. How does this faith actually work? Well, one thing, faith is aggressive, isn't it? God, and we're going to see about this about Jesus' life. When things are out of order, they didn't put up with it. God did not put up with it. Jesus didn't put up with it. You shouldn't either. I used to put up with things. In other words, if it wasn't a major thing, I get used to it. You know, you just get used to it. That's not a good thing. Because what happens, you get used to that. And those little things that you should have got straightened up and you didn't, now you're creating a habit just because you're not doing the little things. See, before David took on Goliath, he did the little things, even though I don't consider a lion a little thing or a bear, but he worked himself as that process, right? I mean, if a lion came at me, I wouldn't be coming at the lion. I'd be finding a tree or something. I don't know. But that's David, okay? God, we just saw it. God framed the universe. He framed the worlds. Let's look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now we see here in verse 2, the earth was without form. Now they say, most scholars believe there's a gap between 1 and 2. It just seems to be true. I don't know. I'm not going to debate it. You talk to the next guy and they'll give you all kinds of scriptures that's not. I'll let God figure this out. Okay, I believe there's a gap. It seems to be. But let's just leave it go at that. Without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. I love that. The Spirit of God was just hovering, waiting, brooding, waiting for words. Saints, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And I like to picture the Holy Spirit in me just hovering, waiting for me to speak. Because the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit quicken this mortal body. There's something. See, the powerhouse of God is on the inside of us. You don't need to look over here or over there. Just look on the inside of you. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. The Bible calls him the greater one. But you'll notice in verse 2, it was dark, void. How much time does he talk about how dark it was? How much time does he talk about, you know, all these adjectives? Without form, void, darkness was on the face. He just says it was dark. He doesn't go in great detail. You don't need to go in great detail about your problem. Have you ever talked to someone and they'll spend about half hour talking about the problem? You can't get away from them. You try to walk away and they just kind of follow you. Well, that's not going to help. Speaking the problem ain't going to help, right? It's dark. Okay, we get it. It's dark. Okay, God says it's dark. But he does something about it. His response. This is what I'm trying to get at tonight. Have the right response. His response was verse 3. I mean, he doesn't waste a whole lot of time. He gets right on it. Faith is aggressive. Faith isn't waiting around. Faith takes the initiative. It's bold as a lion, man. We're righteousness of God. We should be bold about this. Listen, we know God. He is faithful to his promise. If he says it, he'll back it up. He's constantly watching over his word. The Holy Spirit's waiting. Even though the work is done, the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to speak it so he can bring it into manifestation. Now here again, I'm not talking about an overnight wonder. I'm talking about a process. I'm talking about staying with it. I'm talking about keeping that faith switch on. I'm talking about, man, you're not giving up. You're not even coming across your mind. You're standing tall. You're standing and you stand and you stand. And having done all, you stand because you believe the word. That's the switch faith on. So this is what he does. This is his response. And saints, this should be your response, the word. He speaks. God speaks. He said, God said, let there be light, or light be, light was. Now, is he done? He just got started. It's a process. Just because you made a confession, don't just keep the process going. Come on, you go through one phase. Okay, of course, you're always giving God thanks. Always praising God. That's our lifestyle anyway. See, we're in a kingdom. The kingdom has a language. It's called faith. And faith is constantly releasing itself through thanksgiving and praise. It's keeping faith active. It's keeping you aggressive. You're expecting, man, you're expecting results because you believe the word. So he starts the process, let there be light, light was, and then he goes on and on 10 times. So I put this on my computer, and it gave me exactly what scripture it was. High tech. 10 times it's God said, God said, God said. Huh, pretty aggressive, isn't it? He's not waiting around. He's taking the initiative. Saints, we should act just like him. We should be imitators of God, right? Now, he goes on with the same process. Now, you get to verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, I got in my Bible the NLT, and it says, then God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was excellent in every way. I like that. He looked over all of it and said, it was excellent until it was excellent. In other words, what are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor Chuck? I'm saying he kept talking. He kept speaking until it was excellent in every way. He kept that process going until it was excellent. Saints, you keep talking. You keep speaking until it's excellent in every way. You don't stop. The spirit of faith believes, therefore it speaks. That's just the spirit of faith. Faith has to be in the heart and released with the mouth. That's the very first place. That's elementary. That's Mark 11, 23. Saints, we're made in His image. Look at this. Chapter 2, verse 7. It says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In my Bible, I got a speaking spirit. You are a speaking spirit made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you're the when God sees you, you're covered with the blood. God sees you, He sees Jesus. You're made in His image. Spirit, your spirit man in Christ Jesus. Perfection. The Holy Spirit now living on the inside of you. This is a finished work. It is done. You're not going to be able to improve on that. So He made us to be He made us into a speaking spirit. Now see, here's the thing. Before you were saved, you were still a spirit, but it's just dead. And you were going to one place, right? And it wasn't very good. It's going to hell. But God, out of His mercy and out of His grace, saved you through faith. Amen. Now you're a speaking spirit in the kingdom. Now you're speaking, or should be speaking, His language. Now see, this is where we get in problems, because there's a lot of Christians who are born again, but they're not speaking the right language. The language of faith. There's only one language in the kingdom of God. It's the language of faith, since you're going to have to speak it. If you're waiting on God to do something, you're going to be waiting a long time, honey, because it's already done, and He's waiting for you to pick up the prize. It's done. That's the reason why when you're not in faith, you cannot please God. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible. He expects us to come to the table and receive everything He has accomplished for us. It's a complete work. You just have to, you have to take it by faith. Amen. Now, let's go back. Let's go to the fig tree. Mark 11. Mark 11. Let's look at Jesus and His response. I always like this story about the fig tree, because Jesus could have just walked on by it, right? You know, it's a fig tree, big deal. It doesn't have figs, so big deal. But here again, He's not letting it go by. And saints, you shouldn't let things go by either. Something out of order, it needs to be put in order. Get a habit. Make it a habit. Something right, get it. Get the word on it. Find out what the word says about it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hear it over and over. Meditate in it. It says, verse 13, it says, and seeing a fig tree, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it, if perhaps he could find something on it. Then he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Verse 14. This is what I want to try to get at. So the fig tree had no figs. It should have had figs. Long story short, we'll leave it go with that. It says in the New King James, it says, in response. Jesus is going to make a response. Let's see what he says. And Jesus said to it, I got that circled and I got in response circled. Because he's now calling the fig tree an it. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So the fig tree is what I say, since it doesn't have any, or what I'm calling, since it does not have figs, is out of order. You have to remember, Jesus is the Word. The Word made everything on this earth. Everything you see came from this earth, right? Jesus made the fig tree. And the fig tree wasn't working properly. There are some things, saints, you're going to listen to me, you're going to have to curse it. There are some things in your life, you're going to say, this does not belong, I curse you. Just like Jesus, I think it was Peter's mother-in-law, Luke, in Luke's account, Luke says she had a high fever. And Jesus came up to Peter's mother-in-law and stood over her and spoke words. Why? To get things in order. He spoke to her. In other words, he gave the command, or you could say he rebuked or he forbid that fever. And the Bible says, and it left her. There again, it's an it. It's here. It'll be fever, storms, whatever the case might be. Because the Word of God, your language of faith, speaking God's Word, is the parent voice. In other words, it controls everything. It's the originator. Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. It all begins with Jesus and ends with Him. So Jesus stood over Peter's mother-in-law and just rebuked the thing, forbid that thing to be. In other words, it should not be on her. She has a covenant too. Right? So Jesus, He's getting things in order. His response was speaking over it. He's not letting this slide by. Right? Again, say, make it a habit. Something ain't lining up. Find out what the Word says. See, and I think Pastor Mark said this either Sunday or Wednesday. Your words, it's your words that set the boundaries in your life. Like it or not, negative or positive, you're setting it. You're the one. You are a speaking spirit and you're setting it. So might as well just talk the language of God. Might as well just say what He said. Might as well just get on board and have a good life. I mean, He talks about having a good life and the whole book, right? Yeah. We should be having a good life. I'm not saying we don't have problems. I'm not saying we don't have trouble. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have trouble on all sides. If you want to hundredfold, you might as well get used to persecutions, honey. It's coming. Let it come. The joy of the Lord's in me. I don't go by persecutions. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Obviously, when I believe the church is, before we leave, I believe the church is going to be going through some persecutions before the rapture. But nothing like the 7-year tribulation. That's the wrath of God in there. That's a whole nother deal. But as children of God, the persecutions have glory to God. You know, I'm counted worthy to suffer for the King. Hallelujah. So turn with me to, just turn back 4 or 5 chapters to the woman with the issue of blood real quick. So Jesus' response was, He spoke over the tree and got things in order. In other words, tree, you're not spending any more time breathing in my air. You're gone. And immediately, according, if you read Matthew's account, the roots dried up immediately. As soon as the words were released, that was it. But it didn't show up physically manifestation until the next day. Now, Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, we know this story. But let me say this. Mark 5, 25. Listen, saints. This lady, you will find, and listen, you will find she has nobody helping her. Nobody is around her. She is considered unclean. The only people that I guess around her are the doctors. They can't help her. And basically, they just want money. I'm not saying that all doctors, obviously. But I'm just saying she is isolated. But in verse 25, we see the key of what happens. Verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. This is New King James. And had suffered many things from many physicians. Had spent all that she had. It was no better, but grew worse. Verse 27, here's the key. Then when she heard about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In other words, she heard the reports, the good reports of Jesus. Of course, he only had one report. It's good, a good report. About his healing ministry, about his teaching. She heard about him. Now here, she's got a choice. She's isolated. She has no one else helping her. So you see, a lot of times we think we got so bad, no one's helping me. Hey, she doesn't have anyone helping her. But she heard. And she's about to put things in order. How's she going to put things in order? By speaking. Because her body's completely out of order. She's limited on days. She may be only having weeks left. She spent all she had. She's broke. In verse 28, this is her response. Saints, you got to have a response. Why? Because faith talks. The spirit of faith is not silent. You're silent, you go into default. You lose, all right? You're going to have to speak faith, the language of the kingdom. For she said, and the Amplified Bible said, that she kept saying. In another place, it says she said it to herself. I mean, this lady is talking. The King James, I kind of like what the King James says, she came in behind the press. Other words, she's not only talking, but she's pushing and pressing in because everyone else is trying to press in. This lady is determined. See, this is what we call aggressive faith. Faith ain't waiting around. Faith ain't waiting for another day. Are you kidding me? This lady's got an attitude. It's a faith attitude. In other words, I'm not going to be denied. It goes on to say in verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Listen, now this is another key. She had the healing before she felt it. Your senses, like we talked about before, your five senses, put them where they belong. They're from God, but when it comes to certain things, you can't go by them. That's the reason why I believe, and a lot of scholars believe, that Adam and Eve, they operate off the sixth sense, which was faith. Adam and Eve operated basically out of the force of faith, not senses. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But the healing is before the feeling. You have to believe that you received. And you will have. See, this is what Kenneth Hagin talks about, separates the men from the boys. This is where you lose everybody. Or not, take it back. Not here. You lose a lot of people because they want to feel healed. Nowhere in the book, that's not the language of faith. The word is always predominant. It's always first. You always give honor to the word. The greatest honor you'll ever give God. I thank God for gifts of healings. If I need healing, I take it, man. But you're the greatest, and I've learned this from Kenneth Hagin. The greatest honor you can give God is to believe His word. Just believe His word. Because He has, Psalm 138, He has magnified, exalted His word above His name. You can't get any higher than that in faith. When you're taking it at His word, you can't go any higher than that. So that's it. You're giving God His highest glory, His highest honor. Think about that. And you learn to do that just in one area. You'll do it in every area because you know it works because you experienced it. God's faithful. Thank God He don't have bad days. He's on it. Thank God. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and then she felt in her body she was healed of the affliction. Jesus had no idea. She just stopped asking. She just took it by faith. It was there. Faith is very aggressive. It says, Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" In verse 31, His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you? Who touched me?" He looked around to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith." Notice, even though faith cometh by the word, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, even though faith cometh by hearing, in other words, faith that she has is from God. It's the God kind of faith. But yet, He says, "Your faith." Other words, she made it her own. She made it her own. Did I say that? That's not proper English, I don't think. You have to make it your own. Other words, if Pastor Jerry has a revelation in God's Word, and I can say it, and I can repeat exactly what he said, but is it revelation to me? I got to make it my own. Now, he's off and running, but I have it up here, but it's not down here yet. I haven't made it my own. Because Jesus said, he talked about the word abiding. So, but once it drops down into here, now it's revelation to me. Now I can make it my own. She's got revelation, and she made it her own. Now it's her faith. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like I hear Pastor Jerry, Pastor Mark, whatever, and I say, "Yeah, Pastor Mark said this." But after I get revelation, I'll say, "The Lord said this to me." Because now it's personal. Hallelujah. The proper response. Her body was totally out of whack, totally out of order. But she took it by faith. No one helping her. She just pressing in and talking. So she's got both arenas going on here. The movement and the speaking. It's like Wigglesworth, I believe, said, faith is a motion activated. Motion. I got on my train set motion detectors. When the choo-choo train goes down this path, it sets off the bells and the whistles over here. Then it goes over here. Faith You start moving your mouth. You start moving in direction of what the Word says. Things happen. There will be, just like for Mary, she said, what? Let it be unto me according to your word. That's what she said. She accepted what the angel said. She made it her own. Let it be unto me. The proper response. If you want to set things in order, you have to speak it. In order to set the thing that's out of order, you're going to speak to it to get it in order. Is it an overnight thing? Probably not. Is it a week thing? Maybe. Month? It doesn't matter. Your part is just believe. That's how I look at it. That's what Charles Capps always said. Just believe. I can't think and say that too. Just believe God. And if you're willing to stand for 100 years, it won't take long. You get that attitude because you're not moving. You're like that bulldog. Honey, I'm getting it. I'm getting that manifestation. Now, I believe in the spirit realm, I got it. You know what I'm saying? I believe that I received, but I'm waiting for the manifestation. And I don't care if it takes 100 years. God's word is true. When David, When David, we go on for this, we go on. When Jesse sent David to the battle zone or to the battle site to check up on the brothers, bring the cheese and stuff, you know. And you got Goliath shooting his mouth off, going on 40 days. David gets on the scene. Now, that's out of order, right? David comes on the scene. Little David, 17-year-old boy. Well, pardon me, a man. 17-year-old. Saul, where's he at? He's hiding behind a rock. They're all hiding. They're in fear. Here comes David with some cheese. He don't know what's going on. One of the first things David said, I'm kind of paraphrasing this, but one of the first things he says is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this? What's he doing? He's framing. He's framing it all up. In other words, he's framing it up because things are out of order. This is not right. And he continues to frame. He gets to one point right before he swings that rock. He said, I like this. He said, this day. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. You want to talk about framing it. He got exactly what he said. Just like the woman that she blushed, she got exactly what she said. She framed it. David framed it. Now the problem, look, one stone. What, you know, in the natural, I mean, that's very, very lucky. But we're talking supernatural faith. When he, that stone right in the forehead, the giant went tumbling down. You got to remember, this guy was a champion, right? He had all the belt buckles. I mean, the guy, he's on the box of Wheaties and everything. Everyone knew him. He was the champ, undefeated champ of the world. But now David is no longer looking up. He's walking up to him and looking down. All because he framed his world. He said it. God honored him. Oh, Pastor Chuck, you know he was anointed. Well, so are you. He didn't have Christ in him. You do. You got Christ, hope of glory in you. You got the anointed one in you, living in you, abiding in you. You got more. You got more than what David ever had. See, have the right response. Listen, let me close. Closing. We should have the word. Get as much word in you as possible. In the financial areas, the healing areas, the deliverance area, just get a wider arena, a range of word. In other words, get so much word in you that you're framing things automatically. You're seeing things automatically. Then, listen, when the mountain pops up out of nowhere, you're not going, you're going, oh, hold it. You're out of order. And you speak to it. So you're ready for it. Amen. Hey, we live in a world, this world's cursed. I was clearing some stuff the other day, and I'm telling you, those thorns and stuff, they're out there, man. And they want to grab a hold of you. You know, some of them you gotta backtrack because they're dug into you. You know? Okay. But saints, if you live, build that word up in you in every area. I don't wait for sickness to get on me. There's confessions I believe we all should make. I just really do. I believe there's healing confessions you ought to be making all the time. There's prosperity confessions you ought to be making all the time. Then when you do need it, it's like John Osteen, I think, said this. When you do need it, the Holy Spirit's got something to work with. He got a proper word to you immediately. And you say, hold it, my response to you, mountain. This day. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.